Bezal Shem's Bauch, we begin Perek Shemayin Asa, the 18th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ma'abah, 11 Laws of Lendav, and Bar, in the Sefer Mishpatim, Book of Judgments, where we continue in a related vein from the previous Perakim, going on to a new topic about the indebted of the person's assets for the loan. Where specifically in this Perek we discuss regarding the collection from the Nechasim of the Bar and the Halach of Treifa, which is the ability to collect from encumbered properties which were sold off. As Rambam gives Halach regarding collection from the properties and the movable items of the borrower. So if someone lends his friend without specifying otherwise, so all his properties are responsible and a guarantor for this debt. Therefore, since the lien of the assets is actually working through the medium of like arevus of a guarantor, so it works in that same way. When you come in to collect, he first demands and collects from the creditor himself. Just like if someone is a guarantor, you first have to collect from the borrower before they go to the guarantor. So therefore, if you find with the borrower properties, whether they're movable items or their real estate, you collect from them with the willingness and the consent of the borrower. Now, if the borrower does not give willingly, consensually, so the courts will go ahead and force the collection. Now let's say it's not sufficient all that you have correlating to the amount that's written in the document of the debt. Then, since it's a milva b'shtar, then you can collect from all the properties that the borrower had. Even though right now it's been sold off to others, it was given as a gift. And the reason for that is because the properties are responsible for the payment of the debt. As we said, it's like a guarantor. Since the borrower sold or gifted it, once he was already liable for this debt, so this creditor could collect this from the buyers or from those who received the gifts from the borrower. This is what's called snatching, collecting, collections. Now, when do we say this? It's specifically properties that he had at the time of the loan. But regarding properties that he got only after he took the loan, so then there was no lien on that for the creditors. And therefore, the inner he cannot collect them as tereifa, meaning from the buyers. Obviously, if the borrower himself still has it, then he could collect from that, because it's whatever he has available to have to pay up. But not from those that he subsequently sold off to. But vim hisna love, but let's say the lender had stipulated on him. Shekal nochasim shikna, that even any properties that he's going to subsequently buy, you mishabadim lipodei mehem, there will be a lien on them to collect from them. And bekana achash alav, and he acquired them after he borrowed. Umachay nosan, and he sold or he gifted. Then the collector could collect from those who bought those properties. Halacha base. Now in kol adrama um el bekarka, everything we said is only applying to property, to real estate. A matatlam of movable items, ain't a le machrayas, there's no responsibility. I feel matatlam shayla be isha lava, even movable items that he had at the time when he took the loan, he had a car, shemacham l'shaita, if he sold it in the meantime, im machav tarifaisam, the credit cannot collect from them. Now, hikna le bal chayvay, kol matatlam agav karka shiashle. But let's say he acquired to his creditor all movable items with the properties that he had with him, liyoy soy nifram in akal, that he could collect from everything, even from movable items. Okay, there was a kinyan on that. Hariz a toif, ma'isam matal, and then he could collect from those who subsequently bought or were gifted those even movable items. But v'hu sheichtav l'bishtar chayv, as long as he writes to him in his document of the debt, shekinesi l'cha matalim, that I acquired to you the movable items sheishli that I have, al gava karka sheishli, through the dint of properties that I have. Meaning shalikas machta, not like something that you just is a reliance arm, which is like an exaggerated guarantee which does not have halachic standing. And b'shalei ketav se'ashtar is not like just a generic text that written in documents. It has to be explicit that that was what they made up. Let's say he writes, shekol nechasim shani asa liknas, he writes, any properties, any assets that I'm going to end up buying, b'karkos, b'matalim, whether real estate, whether movable items, harei m'shabadim l'choli p'rei mehem, there's a lien for you to collect from them. And the movable items are acquired to you through my properties that you can collect from. Not like just a this exaggerated reliance. Not like this generic text of the documents. Okay, then Hariza Tav. Then he could collect that from the lekuches, from those who subsequently bought them. Even from movable items, which was bought by the borrower after the loan, which is a few deficiencies. Doesn't make a difference, because since they made this stipulation and it's regarding monetary law, Kayim, that stipulation will have validity. Lachadal, the Rambam continues regarding as these collections apply specifically to what's known as a poitiki, which a poitiki, Rashi says in Baba Kama, is a poitehekoi. From here is where the collection will be. There's two types, a generic one and a specific one. But says the Rambam, asa sedei a poitiki, if someone makes his field as a poitiki, which is a specific place where you're going to designate for collections, la'achoyvei, for his creditor, or la'isha b'ksubasa, or for his wife, for collecting her ksuba, and that he writes to them, mikon tigvu, from here is where you're going to collect from. And then it gets flooded by the river, ruining the field. So then they could collect from other assets, and even as from the those who bought those properties. But then his name, that's meaning because it's only making their collections as a higher standard, that this is especially going to be yours. But it doesn't lose the rights to collect from other things. If it gets ruined, they can collect from others. But then Hisna, but let's say he stipulated with his creditors, that this is only where you could make your collection from. So it's like a Nemaila, but it's also like a Saran. Then in the government, Shana Chasim. Then if that gets ruined, he cannot collect from other assets. Let's say he specified, look, you're not going to have any responsibility on me. So although generally say, if it doesn't say Achrayis, it's a Toysev, it's a mistake of the scribe. But here with explicitly saying, you're not going to have any responsibility, how are you saying the good, then they cannot collect from the incumbent properties forever. There's no Achrayis, I'm not taking any responsibility for this loan. Halacha Dalet. Asa sedei apoitiki labal choyvoi or le'isha b'ksubasa. Again, let's say he made his field into that this is designated for your collection as a creditor or a woman for a ksuba. Umachara, but he sold it off. So harei zeh mechura. So this is considered as a valid sale, meaning the lien is still there on that property, but it's sold. And when the creditor comes to collect, if he does not find available assets, then he can go out and snatch that, even though there are actually other properties that were sold after the sale of this field, because this was designated for him, which generally it has to be only the last ones that were sold. But here is an exception to that. Now, but when do we say this halacha that it was sold is b'shamacha l'shaita? If it was only sold temporarily, meaning he told the buyer, look, I just want you to know, this field is an apoitiki. When all the fields are going to be sold, the lender is going to collect from over here. So he knows about that, and therefore it's a sale and will be collected when there's no other choice. A mechadim imka oilma, let's say he sold an eternal sale, meaning the guy thought he's buying it for keeps. Well, then it's not sold. And the sale is void because had the buyer known that it's apoitiki, he would never have bought it. And therefore then it's not considered sold. Halacha hey, asa avdoi apoitiki. But let's say he made it his slave into apoitiki. Umachare, and he sold him off. Harebachayv goivim imenum. The creditor could collect from it, just like we said regarding karka. Nisheshle ko, because word gets out. When a person makes a slave in apoitiki, people find out about it. And therefore, just like by karka, which everyone knows about when it gets sold, everyone knows properties, real estate. So the buyer should have been careful. If he wasn't careful, he caused a loss for himself. Asa shayde apoitiki mochare. But let's say he sold an ox as an apoitiki, meaning that he had an ox that he made an apoitiki, which he told his creditor he could collect from it, and then he sold it off. Im bal chayv gav menu, the creditor cannot collect from it. Chayin shomet halden, also all other movable items, nishem makol, where does it get out? And we cannot create a loss for the buyer where he should not have known that this was an apoitiki, and therefore that loses the ability to be able to collect from that buyer. Halacha vav, evet shasur rabbi apoitiki b'shichre. Now let's say a different case. There was a slave that the master made an apoitiki. He didn't sell him off. He actually freed him. So even though he had written to the creditor, not the making it greater that he collect especially from here, but you're only going to collect the total credit from the slave. Doesn't make a difference. The slave is gone. He's a free man. He's not a slave now to that creditor. So let's say he sanctifies him, makes him hektish. What's the reason for this? Shachametz, if a Jew has his chametz that he made as a lien to a non-Jew for the debt that he owes him, and Pesach passes over, which was always the Jew's chametz, so became asabana, and therefore cannot be, it's not owed to the non-Jew anymore, or v'hashichur, freeing a slave, or v'hektish, or sanctifying something, all these cases of mafkin m'dei shibud, they remove the item from the lien that was on it. So it's not owed to the credit anymore. Rather, so the creditor just has to collect the amount of the debt which was owed to him in the amount of the slave, and because of the star, and therefore he has to write him a new document for the debt that he owes him. In other words, the bar has to now create a new entity of payment because the original one, which is the slave, he had already freed. And betoy from his man ashtar, and now he could collect only from the date of this document, not from the date of the prior document, because that was already neutralized by freeing of the slave. Now, v'lamu chayv l'sham, why does he have to pay? It was only from the slave, and the slave has been freed. Okay, you know, maybe I did something inappropriate, but that you only was able to collect from the slave. No, nishagodim la'abed mamon chaver, because he caused the loss of his friend's money by freeing the slave, which was a pay to give him. But chalagrim lahazik, whoever causes damage, misham has to pay kamishranim kamei, like we explained in this place in the seventh parak in Hilchas Chavla Mazik halacha yud gimel. Now, at the same time, equivalent as Rabbi Hasheni, we forced, quote-unquote, the second master, which was the creditor, which was supposed to collect from him, l'shachrei, to free him, even though he already went free from his original master freeing him, then they tikkun o'ilam, because of remedying for the world. Why? What's the problem? Shal yim se'en b'shug, so that he shouldn't subsequently find this free Jew who's been married, has all family, Yiddish family, with kids and cheder, for him, he's going to tell him, avdiyot, you're my slave. Because really, you were supposed to be mine, you're a poitiki. No, we make him free him, that he has no claim. He says, well, you yourself freed me, and he won't run into that problem. If someone sanctifies his properties, similar to what we were speaking about before regarding the Eved, so the creditor cannot collect the collections from Hektish, like we said, because something being sanctified removes it from the lien that the person has in it. Now, but when this property is redeemed from Hektish, what we do is, and then we evaluate as follows. How much would a person want to give to pay for this field? Amanos, with the intention that he's going to pay up the creditor for his debt, and the woman her kesuba, because the shibut is only removed in regards to the possession of Hektish. But it's still there and suspended on the property, that the moment it's going to be removed from Hektish by being redeemed, it goes back to its original shibud. And the lender or the woman could collect it. So therefore, whoever's coming to redeem it is not going to obviously want to pay the full amount, only a little bit more that he's going to want to give, that besides the fact that it's going to be paid up, how much would he be willing to pay for that amount where it's going to go right back to the original person? That's how much value it essentially has. And Lafikir Liver, like Shtipad, when it gets redeemed, it tastes the chulin, and it goes out to be unconsecrated, Bialakech, now in the hand of the buyer, right away, Yavah Balchay, Beyitzavaysa. The creditor comes and collects it, Beyishav Kesavasa, a woman in a ksuba comes around by Erchin, like we explained in the laws of Erchin, which, how much would a person be willing to pay that? Whatever kindness it is out of his heart, he'd be willing to pay for that, obviously wouldn't be willing to pay so much because he knows he's going to lose it the second he redeems it. Alochaches, Balchay Shabalitrif. When the creditor is coming to collect, Im yesh mois lekech, which collection we say is always in the word litrif, is to collect from someone who bought from the borrower that property. Now, if that buyer from his debtor has monies, so yochel l'salka, he could remove that creditor, but leitin l'demei mashu tayev, and to give him the monetary value of what he's trying to snatch from the buyer. And b'cheza lekech v'tevei l'mecha, then obviously the buyer who had paid already for this amount, now he's paying a double time for the guy's creditor, instead of losing the item that he bought, that buyer now goes back to the seller who was the borrower to get paid back for what he had paid for his debt. Now, vim also isa apaytiki, but if let's say the borrower had made it as an apaytiki, then he cannot remove him with money and say, hey, I want to pay you up, because he already had the first rights on this, and it was designated for him before this guy bought it. Halacha tes, regarding collection and then collection again. So Reuven shayichav l'Shimon b'Simon. Let's say Reuven owed Shimon 200 dinar. V'yilu shtei sotz, he had two fields. Umocha achas men, now these two fields are obviously, there's a lien on them to his creditor. Umocha achas men l'Levi b'mana. Now he sold one of them to Levi for 100 dinar. V'chazer mocha l'ashni b'mana. And then he subsequently sold Levi again, the second one for 100 dinar. Uva Shimon b'tarav achas b'mana. Now Shimon comes to Reuven. Reuven doesn't have any money, so he goes to Levi, who bought the two fields, which each one was worth 100, and he's owed 200. And he collects one of them for 100 that he's owed. V'chazer l'tavashneya b'man ha'nishalei. Now he's coming to collect the second field for the remaining 100 that's owed to him. Now, v'hevi loy, now Levi, who bought the fields, comes to Shimon, the lender, and he brings him masayim. Comes with 200 dinam. And Vamalei says to him like this, im tirtza liyas ha'sadash ha'tarafter, if you want that the field that you had snatched should be shum l'cha b'chol ha'masayim shesh l'cha, that will evaluate it for the entire 200 that's owed to you, which you originally took it as 100, because that's how much was sold to me for 100, and the other one was 100. But, and you owe 200, you want both fields. So he tells him like this, if you want to keep the first one, and we'll evaluate it as 200 out of 100, harim motiv, great, and then we're done. V'mlav, and if not, and you want both fields then, helech masayim shal chayv chavistak, then you know what, here, take the 200 dinar that you're owed, and remove yourself, and give me back the first field that you took for the first 100. So the halacha is hadinim Levi. The halacha is with Levi, because we're talking about a generic apaytiki, not a specific apaytiki, because like we said, a specific apaytiki cannot be misalik madam. We're talking about generic apaytiki. Now, Ratz Shimon v'amid ba. Now, let's say Shimon wants, and he remains with the field that he had originally snatched for 100, and he keeps it as payment for the 200 that he's owed. So Av Pishakib b'Masayim, although he is taking it for the amount of 200 that he's owed, ain't Levi chayzer b'tavei. Now Levi cannot go back and claim from Reuven, who sold him the fields, which was taken by the creditor. Reuven, Levi cannot be chayzer b'tavei. Reuven el b'mono only for 100 dinarim, which is the amount that he used to pay up Reuven, which is how much he lost. Although Reuven took it for 200, he cannot collect 200 now from the one who sold it to him. He can only collect 100 from Reuven. Halacha Yud. Meis Reuven, if Reuven dies, v'nich sada achas shavimea, and he left over a field that's worth 100. Uvah Shimon, now Shimon, a creditor of his father who was owed 200, comes along with Tzrafa. So he collects as a collections from that field. So v'nosna yisayimim, but the orphans, they give him meya min amatatlin, 100 from movable items, meaning let's say money, shenich aviyim, that their father left open to them, v'silku, and therefore they remove him, and they take back the field. Because although their father's property has a lien, so there was only 100, and he's owed 200, so he wanted to collect 100, but he says, you know what, let's keep the field here, here's $100. He can now, after he collected 100, could go and collect from it again the rest of his debt, the remaining 100. And the orphans can't claim, wait a second, we weren't obligated to pay you from the movable items that our father left over to you. He only had a lien on 100, which was the one field that our father left over, and if we removed you from your whole shibud, no. Because Shemesh and Nosnoi, the first 100 that they gave him, mitzvah asu, they were doing a mitzvah, and it was not like a removal of the shibud that he had on the karka. What does it mean, a mitzvah? Because there is a mitzvah, even though they're not obligated, there's a mitzvah on the orphans to pay up their father's debt. So although they gave the first 100, that was for the mitzvah. Now I'm going to collect the remaining 100 from the field. Now, but if they originally told him, Elu, that these 100, it's for the 100 that, of the monies of the field that you snatched, and they explicitly saying that's why they gave him the 100, not for the mitzvah, then he cannot go back and collect from it again the second time for the rest of his debt, because that's as if they're acquiring from the lender the field and they're paying with the movable items, which was no shibud for that, and that has nothing to do with him, and they're paying up that one debt, and therefore then they wouldn't be able to collect again a second time.